on the turnpike in Oak Ridge. And Kenny James just drove past us, who is Thomas's old guitar teacher.
Yes.
And how long did you take guitar lessons from Kenny James?
On and off for 2.5 years. But enough to get to know someone.
So let's hear the number one anecdote about these guitar lessons.
Hey, okay, so first of all, it's always good to know that he's still alive. So whenever I see him, I'm like super thankful.
This is an elderly man.
Yeah, but it's also one of those things where it's like, okay, this is probably really disrespectful, but just sorry.
He's like Nicholas Flamel old.
Yeah, or he's 65. But also, if you told me he was 93, I would believe you.
He has that look like you're like, so what were the Crusades like?
Oh my gosh. Crusades.
There's no chance Kenny James listens to this podcast, is there?
No. So just picture about a 93-pound gentleman with long white wispy hair that's balding in the middle.
Who may be 93 years old as well.
Yeah. Wears like a beret and like
shirtless.
He'll wear like swimming trunks, a button-down shirt unbuttoned with no shirt underneath, yeah, yeah, and flip-flops if he's wearing shoes. Sometimes just socks. And he honestly is the best guitarist I've ever seen in my life. He's unbelievable.
In person.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. But we would have our lessons in this tiny little room, right? That's like owned by this little restaurant in town called the Soup Kitchen. You know, well, I guess the Soup Kitchen owns it. I don't know. And he would just like walk in and out of there with like bread and soup and drinks. Just go refill his drink. Didn't ask questions. So, you know, like, I mean, the size of a closet. Just this tiniest room. And I mean, I went in there often for 2.5 years, and the entire time he thought my name was Tom Fox. He'd be like, Tom Fox. He had this really deep, like silky smooth, he's like a jazz guitarist. So
Tom
Fox. He's as smooth as they come, just like, Tom Fox, how you doing today, Tom? And I'm like, oh my goodness, Kenny. That's not my, you know, like, you get to a point where you just stop correcting them because I'm like, you're not embarrassed and it's not going to change anything. I've tried. So, like, one day I come in there and I'm like, golly, I don't know what neighborhood we just turned into, but holy
cow.
It's
the Palisades.
Oh, man, I haven't been here in forever. I forgot this existed.
This is Alex Bavard's neighborhood. I just took you down. Tom Fox just did like a triple take.
So smart.
He like went in slow motion for a second.
Alex probably listened to this too. But anyway, I brought Kenny a check one time that had my name on it, like Thomas Cox. And he was like, who's this? Who's this check from? Who's Thomas Cox? And I was like, Kenny.
I've been coming here for 2.5 years.
What the heck, man? Gosh. That's
I don't
Kenny
know
James.
If it was you or if it was somebody else of our friends that took guitar from Kenny James told me that they had a lesson at 9 a.m. one time, and Kenny was shirtless, he was in flip-flops, and he was enjoying a big fat glass of red wine.
Oh my gosh. Red wine. If you're on Instagram...
I happen to be cataloging all of the St. Louis Cardinals wins this year with a unique and hype Instagram story post featuring the 80s hit song by UB40, a progressive reggae band.
Progressive reggae? I didn't know that was a category.
It's got to be what they are.
Stay close to me. That, I did not.
And it confuses people so much. I have to say, I want you all to know, I know it's obnoxious.
No, it's you don't need to justify
it's just really
any
fun.
Way with that. One of the guys, I lead a Bible study for college guys, and one of them was like, there's no way he can keep it up. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, Lee cannot do that for the whole season. Dang
the entire baseball season.
Yeah, he was just like, we're just driving right now. There's literally no agenda. Usually we are like driving to a place when we record this,
but now
I was like, let's just go get in the car.
It all started with Ellie Mason.
Oh. Pastors in cars visiting babies.
Exactly.
Is that a road? Maybe it was a driveway.
I don't think so.
But anyway, so if you need entertainment, is that a turtle? That's a turtle. Hold up.
Get it.
Got to rescue this thing.
It's turtle rescue time.
Dun, dun, dun.
How long is this mic cable?
I'm about to find out. Turn my hazards on.
What are we going to do with
everyone's
the turtle?
Everyone knows what I'm doing right now.
You got to get some play-by-play.
My door is ridiculously squeaky.
Yeah. Is it a box turtle? Oh, the mic cable.
Mic cable's not going to be long enough. Here, Lee.
I can't even hear Thomas right now.
It hissed at me.
Wow. It hissed at you?
Yeah.
Doesn't it know that you were its savior in that moment?
Well, here's the thing about the earth and its inhabitants. They don't always know that you're doing good for it. But I am. I don't like killing animals. I don't like cutting down trees. I'm pretty weird about that stuff. People don't really know that about me.
Dude, can you imagine if we weren't recording this podcast, that turtle would have gotten just completely destroyed.
Have you ever hit one?
No.
You'll never do it again if you do. It sounds like a gunshot went off.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's terrible.
That is so gross.
Oh, it's just like a boom.
I have this image in my mind now of you like, kind of like Rambo going around and saving animals.
Hey, that's
your John. Can we hear it again?
No.
One rep per customer. Yeah.
In my roommate's opinion, the greatest actor of all time.
But I have
Sylvester Stallone.
I can imagine you as John Rambo, like going around and saving animals.
Dude. They just.
And plants.
People need to stand up for them. You know?
Welcome to Ancient and New, a Bible study podcast. This is where we share some scripture with you, why it's important to us and why it's been helping us. I, of course, am your friend Lee Younger, and this is your friend Tom Fox.
Tom Fox. Who, you know, I wish my last name was Fox because it reflects my personality as an animal lover better than... Well, also, it's like a rooster. If my current last name...
Oh, my gosh. You're going to start... How about if you start today? Psalm 147. Shall I read it for you? I'm just going to cut you off from whatever that diatribe was going to be.
I don't know what diatribe is, but I'm glad you cut me off.
Psalm 147. We're both going to share something from the Psalms with you today.
Oops, that's a dead end.
Psalm 147 says, starting in verse 10, His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love.
Mm. So this caught my eye upon like fifth glance. Like it was honestly one of those things where I was like, man, that is beautiful. I don't really know why. Mm. And then I kept going back to it. And it reminded me of this thing that I did yesterday. So I read this morning, but, when I was a kid, whenever my dad would grill out, I would instinctually, we both would just grab a baseball glove. Like if he would roll the grill out onto the driveway, and then I would grab my glove, I'd grab him a glove, grab a ball, and we would just throw while the burgers were cooking.
Is this before the house you live in now? Because now you guys have like a built-in brick barbecue.
It's that thing has never worked in my 20 years of living there.
Really?
Yeah, that's like you've heard me say this before. It's like the epitome of my parents. Like, oh yeah, it'd be awesome to get that thing working one day. I'm like, well, I did something to my dad yesterday too, and he pushed this dead tree over a week and a half ago. It was a dead dogwood tree, and it was like rotting, and he pushed it down. And I was like, dude, I'm going to go cut that up for you. And he was like, no, I'm going to cut it up. And I was like, Dad, if you were going to cut it up, you would have done it by now. Like, I'll go get a chainsaw and cut it. He's like, nope, I'm going to do it. And then 10 minutes later, I heard a chainsaw start. And I was like, well,
wow,
I did this. But we let
the grill, you grab the baseball gloves.
Yeah. And, you know, just throw baseball. So yesterday I was over at my parents' house. My parents love to cook for us. Like all of my sisters
they're very good at it
too. Yeah, they're great. And my mom loves to cook. She loves hosting. She like thrives in that environment. But so my sisters and I have like moved out. We don't live there anymore. They're both married and you know, both have kids on the way. One already has a kid. It's awesome. So like anything they can do to bring us back, they love, you know, so they offer us food like multiple times a week. Like, hey, this night we're eating, blah, 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 whatever. And it's usually a Tuesday night. So last night I was over there, and they were cooking burgers, and I had a turkey burger because I like turkey burgers.
No, that's not why.
Yeah, I prefer turkey burgers.
Yeah, but you don't really eat beef anymore.
Well, that's also true.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like the earth. But, so yesterday, my dad is like, he's coming off a heart attack. So he's not, like, throwing baseball is not really an option right now.
Sure.
So I grabbed a golf club and was hitting these little foam balls in the yard, just like talking to him or whatever. And I like started doing this thing where I was like, okay, if I can hit you from here, $5. And he's like, all right. So, you know, I wouldn't hit him. I'd like move to a more ridiculous place. I'm like, all right, $20. If I can hit you from here. Okay, whatever. Like, all right, Dad, $100. Like, I'm behind a tree. Right. Like, I have to hit a crazy shot to hit you. $100. And he's like, sure. And I kept doing this thing where I was like, you watching? Like, do you see where I'm at? Hey, look, yeah. I'm about to hit this at you. Can you see me? Like, yeah, I'm looking. And it like reminded me of like my whole childhood. Like, hey, can you see what I'm doing? Hey, look, watch what I'm doing. Like, Dad, did you see that shot I took? Or like, hey, Mom, like, did you see that thing I did at school today? So like, watch, look and see what I'm doing. And I thought about like, you know, that was just me being a kid and wanting my parents to see what I was doing, thinking it was cool. And I have like, I wonder how much of my relationship with the Lord is like that. Like, hey, do you see what I'm doing? Look, watch, yeah. Like, look at this cool thing I'm doing. Look at how amazing it must make me. And like how you must feel about me because of the awesome thing that I'm doing right now. Like, look, do you see it? And I just had this moment when I like finally figured out why that thing was catching my eye. Like I was like, man, this is sweet. Why do I like this so much? And it was the thing about like, oh crap. What was the last line? Will you read that again?
The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love.
He delights in those who put the hope in his unfailing love. And it wasn't, he delights in those who do awesome things.
Right.
It's not, he delights in those who are doing so many awesome things that are seen by everybody and are like a big deal. It's, he delights in those who fear him and put their hope in his unfailing love. And a cool thing about that is in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about how he does see those things and he'll never forget them. If you're doing something right. Awesome and it's just a cool thing, if you're like living righteously or whatever that means, like if you're doing that, he sees it and he doesn't forget it. But it's not the thing that his love for you hinges on.
Right.
It's not the thing that earns how the Lord feels about you. He doesn't miss it. He sees it. And I think he's super appreciative of it. And I think he loves it. That's where the Missiskias used to live. And then, but the thing, that was just for me and Lee, yeah. And Richie, if he listens to this, but.
There's no way Richie listens to this. I hope he does,
I wish
though.
He did. But I cool wish kid. Richie. But anyways, the thing that his love for me, it doesn't hinge on how I do or what I'm doing. And I need to remember that a lot because
right.
I get caught up in that so much. Hey, do you see what I'm doing? Watch, look, I'm about to do this thing. This is so cool. And like, you know, sometimes my parents, it was like, nah, I don't see it. Sorry, I missed you. Never in like a mean way, but like, hey, yeah, I didn't see it. He always sees it. But at the same time, his love for me doesn't hinge on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because as you're talking about your, like, that thing between you and your dad or you and your folks, I'm thinking about, like, just the way, you know, like, the way Jack, like, loves to just build stuff in Legos, and he always brings them to me at every stage. Mm-hmm. Like, he has this gigantic tub of Legos. He makes his own, you know, like, the Milano, which is a ship from the Guardians of the Galaxy's movies.
I instantly thought of a cookie. I don't know why.
Well, those are cookies as well. Oh. But like, you know, and he doesn't just bring it to me at the end. He brings it to me at every stage of development. And anytime he's pumped, he wants me to see and recognize how cool it is, this thing that he's just made.
Sure.
Which is really fun. But like, there's a thing where like, for him, he needs to show me things in order for me to say to him like, oh, that's amazing. You're amazing.
Right.
But what he doesn't know is like, when he's asleep at night, he's not doing anything, and I walk past his bedroom and the door is cracked, and I stop and look at him, and it's like, I just love you. Mm. Like, I just look at him and I'm like completely pleased with this dude. Like, it's not the amazing drawings that he makes, although those are really, really cool. He makes some cool drawings.
He's a stud, man.
It's not the amazing Lego creations. It's not this, it's not that. It's not a great pass that he caught in a football game or something like that.
Right.
But like when I walk past his bedroom and it's just him, he's not doing anything. He's just asleep. It's like, my heart's hammering for this kid. I just love you. And just to think like, I'm loved like that, you know, just like, and I, it's like my greatest hope is in the unfailing love of the Lord. I have, like, when it comes down to it, that has to be true, because I have a whole lot more messes I've created than amazing things I've done to get God's attention.
Yes.
And so, like,
true.
It's one of those things where it's like, I'm so thankful that the cool stuff that I've been a part of for the Lord, that he doesn't forget it. Like you're saying in Hebrews 6:10.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when I really think about the motives of my heart and how crazy it's been and how messed up I can be, I'm banking on the grace bit, man. Yeah. I'm banking on that. Like, I am hoping in his unfailing love. That's my only hope, is that he has unfailing love, because mine has been failing at every corner.
I think that's super sweet. I was reading that thing today. I think it's in Titus chapter 3. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Where verse he talks 5, about, I think. Yeah, he talks about the Lord being poured out, like his Holy Spirit being poured out.
My
about
bad. That's a different one.
No, and just like how much mercy and grace he had for us. I'm if you knew me, you would know that I'm like very below average at memorizing scripture, but I can like generally I kind of know where I'm looking at, but whatever. It's not a great trait to have. That's not me bragging. That's me saying, hey, I'd really need to improve at this. But I do remember very clearly it just talking about how the Lord has poured out for us and how his grace and his mercy paid for us. And I just kept thinking, man, that is so sweet. And it's such a sweet image, because, golly, the amount of awesome I am is so overshadowed by the amount of crap that I've done in my life. But the Lord looks at me as righteous and his love and his clean, and I mean, what a gift. And it's all free because of grace and mercy. And that is that. Oof, I wouldn't make it. I would be so stinking toast.
Right. I'm going to share something from Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm, and it's like super, super long. And it's kind of like an acrostic poem or something, right? Like each little segment of it is like a different letter in the... Yeah, that was Zach Hughes' house, wasn't it?
Yes. We're taking a tour of Oak Ridge at the moment.
Yeah, we just drove past Zach Hughes' house. Hey, Zach.
Zook.
Psalm 119 is broken up into different sections, and this is from a section called...
One is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Yeah.
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 So it's this really cool artistic kind of thing, My thing on Psalm 119 was, as I was going through it this time, was like, I'm going to read until I find my moment, and then I'm going to stop there for that day.
Yeah.
And then I'll pick it back up tomorrow and carry on the next section till I find my moment again.
Yeah.
This was in a segment called Sin and Shin, or Seen and Sheen. I don't know how you pronounce it, but verse 162 of Psalm 119 says this: I rejoice in your promise, like one who finds great spoil. And there's a thing that happens in me immediately when I read that, because like one thing that I absolutely stinking love is like a buried treasure movie. Like the quest for some amazing treasure. I love that kind of story.
Sure.
I happen to be I'm listening to the audiobook of The Count of Monte Cristo right now, because of Brad Warren, and who's a regular contributor to this show, and a listener as well. And so Brad got me into this book, and it was one of those things where like I watched the movie in the 90s, and I was like, that was a cool movie. And if you say that was a cool movie in Brad's presence, he will absolutely explode, because he's like, it's the most garbage movie in the history of the world. This is the most amazing story ever, and they completely ruined it. It's one of those kind of deals.
Okay.
And now that I'm reading the book, I'm like, he's exactly right. This is such a rich, amazing story. But there's this moment where he finds this treasure, and the treasure is more unbelievably ridiculously huge than you can possibly imagine. It's a treasure that so completely changes his life. It enables him to change the fortunes of all of his friends, and enables him to kind of like take his revenge and ruin the lives of everybody that's ever hurt him. Like it's one of these, like, you can't even imagine the scope of this treasure. And so it made me think of this. It made me think of The Count of Monte Cristo. It made me think of The Goonies, which is just this amazing movie about like these kids in suburban whatever who find out there's a buried treasure on a sunken pirate ship in their town.
Yeah.
Underground. And it's like, what can you imagine being a little kid and finding out right there in your little town where you ride your bikes every day, there's a pirate, there's a sunken pirate ship and a buried treasure.
Sure.
It's like, whoa, what an amazing story that just captivates the imagination so much. It's like, there's a movie in the 80s. I'm sure it's a terrible, terrible movie, but I loved it back in the 80s called Big Trouble in Little China. Have you ever seen that before?
No, never heard of it.
Oh, man, Kurt Russell. See, if you're Rambo saving the animals, I need to be Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China, which you don't even know what I'm talking about right now. But it's, he has this one moment where he's about to go into this battle, and he says to the girl that he likes, he says, if I'm not back in 10 minutes, call the president. Which is like, I'm just realizing is the cheesiest.
I'm out on this movie.
Dude, it's automatically. So good.
That's the worst line I've ever heard in my life.
Come on, but if you
that's were. That's straight out of The Office when Michael has that movie that comes out.
Dude, if you were 11, wouldn't that be the greatest line ever? Wouldn't you be so hype?
I think 11-year-old me would think, okay, I'm out on this movie.
There's no way. If any of you that are listening like the movie Big Trouble in Little China, I need you to contact Thomas.
I think my cheese radar has been pretty high for a long time.
Wow. Okay.
That's bold.
Here's what I'm saying
for me
to
say. I'm sorry.
I'm reading this verse, and I realize, like, the way that this psalmist is saying it is that, like, the promises of God bring joy. And they bring joy like somebody that's found a buried treasure, like somebody who's found great spoil. Like when Edmond Dantès finds this treasure on the abandoned, you know, deserted island of Monte Cristo, it's like, it's gold, it's emeralds, it's diamonds, it's rubies, it's an uncountable treasure. And if you found that, you would be like, I don't have any more worries. I don't have any more problems.
Sure.
I can solve any problem for the rest of my life. I'm wealthy beyond imagination. Everything about my life has just changed. And to think about the promises of God in that way, like, if you just think about some of them, like, Jesus promises that he's going to prepare a place for me. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'm going to go get you and bring you with me so that you can be where I am. It's like, oh my gosh, if that's true, I am good. I'm golden. Like, like I don't have any worries or cares. Like when we're back on Hebrews, but in Hebrews chapter 8, he says, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more.
Mm.
Like, what an unbelievable promise. If that's true, I am good. I'm golden. Like he promises, I'm going to put my spirit within you. And it's like, you're going to have the same power, Ephesians chapter 1 says, that God exercised when he raised Jesus from the dead. It's like, this power is going to be activated within you. Dude, the promises of God, the more I think about them, if they are true, like, I have just found the greatest treasure. And I want to think about the promises. I want to think about the promises, and I want to rejoice in them like a man who's found a buried treasure.
The main draw to me of like treasure hunt.
Little China. My bad.
I think I never had interest in Big Trouble Little China, and I think I have less interest than
I did
before.
It has so many cool fight scenes, man. Carry on. Your main interest in buried treasure.
Oh, and like those stories are like. The hunt for it, you know, like think about National Treasure, which like,
oh yeah,
you know, Nick Cage, by all accounts, very average, if not okay. This needs to be a less opinionated podcast, I think, just from my end. Like I've been very opinionated so far today.
You have been today,
but
like uncommonly so.
I think most people would say Nick Cage is not a great actor, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Anyways. He kills it in National Treasure in the sense that like it's just it's a great story. I think it's awesome, and I love stuff like that. And it's like historical and all the things.
You can't turn that movie off.
No, it's so good. And like,
if you turn that movie off, it's like, who hurt you, man? What's wrong with
exactly?
You?
But like, you know, the coolest part of it is the like searching for the thing, you know, and you get there and you're like, okay, this is pretty cool. But like, I just spent an hour and a half of this thing with y'all, like, you know, pulling bricks out of walls and like finding weird glasses that Ben Franklin put in there and like, you know, whatever. That's the only scene I remember from that whole movie. It's been so long, but like, it was so cool. I loved the hunt, and it doesn't feel like that's the case with the scripture you just read. You know, it's like, it's not talking about the hunt. Like the thing begins once you find the treasure, once you have that joy. And I think that is, That is so neat, and it's so different from that, like, treasure hunt story that we think of. Like, all the good treasure hunts are, like, the thing is in the story, you know, in the finding the treasure. It's the like, playing the piano in the Goonies and, like, part of the the floor falling out below you and riding that slide into where the ship is, you know? It's
come
like,
on.
If you haven't seen the Goonies by now, by the way, it's time to get up out of
here. Truffle shuffle?
Yeah. Baby Ruth, like... The whole
Sloth
thing.
Sloth Love Chunk.
Yes. Oh my gosh. When he rides the knife down the.
Come on.
Oh, it's so good. But like, I don't think he does that actually. He rides a. He swings in on a rope. I'm thinking of it. Right. I'm thinking of like Peter Pan or something like that. But, anyways, I've lost my train of thought.
When pirates put the knife in a sail on a boat and then ride it down, do you think they call it riding the knife?
Ooh, I don't know if they call that riding the knife, but Mythbusters proved it wrong.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, I used to watch a lot of Mythbusters. But I do think, like, the whole story of finding a treasure, there's ups and downs, and, like, friends fall apart and, like, get back together, and, like, you lose someone, and they're, like, held captive, and you got to get them out again. Like, there's always... It's, like, kind of predictable, right. You know? Like, you can fill in gaps along the way. And I don't think this is talking about that. I do think it's just, like, hey... You got the treasure. Now what? You know, like the beauty of that is like it's like what you're saying. I can change all my friends' lives. I can repay people who like did me wrong or whatever the guy in Monte Cristo is doing. And like, what are you gonna do with the treasure of joy that the Lord gives
Come
you?
On.
What are you gonna do once you have that? Because you got it. What are you gonna do about it? I think that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, exactly. To think like, I have the thing my heart most longs for. I am forgiven. I am clean.
Mm-hmm.
I am a child of God. Nothing can dampen that. Nothing can stop that. Nothing can slow it down. I have, right now, all of the things that my heart would most long for. They are true.
Yeah.
There's this thing that Tom says, well, he said it one time in a sermon, and it was just... He said it's the acronym ETON.
Okay.
That the promises of Jesus are either true or they're not.
Okay.
And so I need to believe them.
Yeah.
Or not. Like, this is either true or not. If they're not true, I'm totally hosed.
Right.
If they are, I'm totally good.
Right.
And so I need to enjoy the treasure. I need to rejoice in the promises like one who finds great spoil. That psalm, that little section goes on to say, seven times a day I praise you.
Mm.
Just like, it's just like the number of perfection. It's just like, I just praise you all day long. I'm just like, I mean, let me count the ways. I'm so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think Bono says, that's a bit of a turn from Tom, but like, Jesus was either just a crazy person or he's someone who like has changed the lives of millions of people. And I think there's Tom right there.
There he is, he's running right now. We just saw him. That was amazing.
I just that's two times a day I've tried to quote someone, either it be scripture or one of the greatest singers in my lifetime, and I butchered it. So let's not
I think C.S. Lewis had that argument first.
Okay, well then Bono just copied C.S. Lewis, which is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Also, let's just not judge me for, one, the fact that I am terrible at memorizing things, and two...
I think my goal right now is to not judge you for your really hot take on a movie you haven't seen yet,
which is obviously
a classic.
I need to apologize for... I am not... an incredibly opinionated person. In fact, I try to not be, but I have been very opinionated on this episode. You all may beg to differ, and Lee, you know me better than anyone else, and you may say you're the most opinionated person I've ever met.
No. You've really, and I feel like you've really been intentionally dialing it back.
Oh yeah, I try not to be, because just free tip.
I thought everyone, you were tailgating pretty hard.
I am no closer than 40 yards from this car in front of me. That is not a fact.
Friends, today's episode has been brought to you by Nicolas Cage.
Hold on one second. All right,
you've backed up.
I took a picture, and that is going to be put on our Instagram and Twitter.
Somehow
me and Lee photoshopped in it to see how far away I am from this.
Today's episode has been brought to you by Kurt Russell and Big Trouble in Little China.
R.I.P. Kurt Russell.
And also Sylvester Stallone.
Adrian. He says, you gotta cut me, Mick. You gotta cut me. And it's like he squeezes a ketchup packet by his eye. You're like, whoa.
Oh, folks, as always, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New.
And Kenny James. I am new.